Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Louis Curtsey, Non-Executive Chairman of Mast Energy Developments. Welcome back again, Louis. How are things?
Hi, Phil. Nice to be talking to you again. No, all systems going. We are working 25 hours a day, so things are going well. We're trying to get to 26, but that's a bit of a struggle.
I wish I had 26. Just those two extra hours would make all the difference, wouldn't they? You'd have a longer lunch, maybe, or maybe a bit longer in bed.
Exactly.
That's right. You guys are crazy. I'm working maybe 8 hours a day, and that's it. No more.
Yeah. Keep going, Kev. Keep working on.
And Louis, 25 hours. Don't believe you, mate. I want to see your time pumped in, pumped out.
You sound like my boss. I want to see your timesheet. And just as a recap, before we get into the latest news, or let's sort of look at the latest RNS. Do you want to give the listeners a quick rundown of what Mast do and why right now the UK energy markets provide highly attractive economics?
Yeah. So, Phil, I mean, as we said, it's about a year now. We're almost on the year anniversary since MED.
Well, it is, isn't it? I think it was 12th of April, looking back at the note. Yeah, so it's exactly to the day.
It's exactly. I mean, I just checked.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So, but as we said.
Wait a minute. Happy birthday to Mast. Happy birthday to Mast. We can have it in Arabic as well if you want. Sana hilwa mayasua. Sana hilwa mayasua. Can we have it in Afrikaans? Come on, Louis.
No, I'm not in the business of singing.
Let's hope the second year of Mast is much more profitable than the first. Anyway,
exactly. Then maybe I will sing.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Coming back to your question, Phil, I mean, as we said at the time that Mast listed and when that was completed, there's a really good market at the moment. The reserve power market is growing very rapidly. As we know, it's a market that is just absolutely booming at this point in time with some very favorable economics. And the reasons behind that there are multiple number of reasons, but mostly it is because of the disruption in the baseload generation environment as a result of pursuing the renewable energy side of it. And that's just a normal transition process. It's nothing strange or funny. It's part of the transition process. It's going to be there for a while still. And then also because of the energy market in general is doing at the moment, where gas prices are going, the shortage in gas, and a number of these things are all conspiring, so to say, towards creating a very lucrative and a very fast-growing reserve power market that plays a very important, a very crucial role in terms of keeping the energy supply side stable and in good shape. So from that perspective, we then started Mast, as I said in the past, and we set a target of getting our first 50 megawatt in production as soon and as quickly as possible, with an ultimate target of 300 megawatt in production at the end of the project that we're busy building. And we are at the moment well on course on getting the first 50% in place. And the first 9 megawatt, as you know, is already in production. That's been in production since the end of last year. And we have a further around about 10, 11 megawatt under construction at the moment, progressing quite well at the same time.
And so presumably in that 25 figure was under the recent announcement was the potential acquisition of the 7 megawatt production ready gas site.
Yeah. Now, as we've said in the RNS, you know, there are certain realities that we have to deal with as any business has to. But one of the things that we are confronted with at the moment is, and we're not unique, but one of the things that is confronting most businesses at this point in time, specifically in the space where we are, is a situation where political instability is creating, has got an impact on all sorts of things. And this comes at a time when we have not even recovered from what is COVID, what COVID-19 has done to us. So that creates a number of things. And I'll try and keep it as simple as possible, but it creates a situation where various businesses for various reasons come under pressure. And that creates opportunity. But at the same time, in our own situation, it creates a challenge in terms of supply chain and severe constraints in supply chain, which has created a position where we have some of our sites under construction, and the long lead items is at the moment a challenge, not only for us, for the whole industry. So where you would normally see long lead, big capital items have a lead time of between, say, 6 and 8 months, it's almost all of a sudden 12 and 18. So we had to come to a position where we put in place appropriate strategies to counter this. And the announcement that we made, the one that you refer to, is part of that strategy, is to see how we can create a situation where we utilize opportunities in the industry to do two things, to bring us quicker to the production targets that we've set, but also to mitigate the inherent risks that I've explained to you just now in terms of what COVID did to us, what political instability is doing us, and lead times and supply chain challenges. And that's this announcement that we made is I think a very appropriate and a very eloquent way in which we address that opportunity, to one, seize an opportunity, but to also use that opportunity to counter some challenges that we're experiencing at the moment.
Louis, just give us an overview of what you see happening in this market. Is there enough of these gas peaker stroke battery places available in the UK? Is there going to be enough going forward? What does the market look like?
Well, Kevin, that's a very interesting question, because what we've seen, and I think when we first had our very first interview, when we did our very first interview on your show, I discussed with you the things that we did initially to get everything in place before we rolled this out, before we went commercial. One of those things was to build a proper pipeline of sites that we can develop, to have a proper pipeline in store, in reserve, that we can access. And that's probably one of the best strategic things we ever did so far, because what is happening in the energy market at the moment is that the reserve power market is growing very fast, and there's a huge demand for what we're doing. It puts a lot of pressure on available sites, on equipment, and on various other ancillary services to this. So, answer your question, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of demand for gas peakers. There's not enough at the moment. There's not enough suitable sites at this point in time. And I think one of the good things that we did is to get this in place even long before we started, before we went commercial, as I said earlier. So that has put us in a really good position where the demand for what we're doing is growing, where the availability of sites and equipment is diminishing. I think we find ourselves in a very strong position.
So in terms of the sites, are there still many sites that you have first option on and things such as that?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. We have a strong pipeline, which we've lined up, which we've prioritized, and which we got ready before we went to market last year, and that is still available to us.
So you're not running around scratching, trying to negotiate with everybody, please, can we have this site? These options are already signed and in place, so that as you roll the thing out, you should be able to take the benefit of these.
So Kevin, our challenge at the moment is not getting sites. Our challenge is how many of them can we develop in parallel? Challenge is how many of them can we get out into production as quickly as possible, not where can we get sites from.
The challenge in that, I suppose, is the challenge that most big, or not big, but industry is having, is that the lead time on all of these equipments is increasing. So just explain again what we did in the RNS in terms of you changed one of the sites to a battery site and subsequently used, I think, the equipment for the other site instead.
Once again, one of the strategic things that we had as part of our planning from day one is to see how we can remain dynamic, how we can utilize different technologies to service this particular market. And the whole concept of long duration storage or battery storage has always been part of our business model. What is happening now is actually accelerating that. It's giving us an opportunity where we can accelerate that and where we can actually aggressively look at repurposing some of the sites that we want to develop. And the whole move behind repurposing Rochdale or converting that into a battery site is part of this. So that's another one of the mitigating strategies or mitigating opportunities that we have in our portfolio, in our planning, is to say, well, if we're gonna struggle to get gas peakers quick enough, how many of these sites can we convert into battery sites rather than into gas peaker sites? So that's definitely part of the strategy, and it's one of the things that we're very excited about, as Rochdale is an example of.
Going forward, this 50 megawatt target, in terms of obviously not online in production, but when do you hope to be nearing that target, you know, of 50 megawatts? Is it going to be within 2022 that you hope to have 50 megawatts on the go?
At this point in time, we're still within the ballpark of the production targets that we've set. So we still believe that we will meet the targets for 50, 100, 150, and so forth, as we've set it out when we listed last year.
So what would you like to say about your share price on its birthday?
Well, there's not too much to say there, other than to say that, it's certainly not where we would like it to be at this point in time. And I also don't think that it reflects what is really going on in the company and the progress that we've made up to now. I mean, we are making good progress. We have our first site in production. The rest is under construction and developing. We are doing really well in terms of mitigating the challenges that we have to face, as I've explained just now. So I believe that the share price, as it stands at the moment, can do significantly better.
Just as an example, just for my own peace of mind, the one site that is already up and running is 9 megawatts. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
If somebody came along and wanted to buy that from you in the current marketplace, how much is that worth roughly?
You know, I'll have to go and check. I can't give you a number off the top of my head, but what I can tell you is that it is definitely multiples of what we paid for it.
I think really what I'm saying to myself is, if you are at the point of 25 megawatts and taking even the figures that you talked about in the RNS of 500,000 to 650,000 per megawatt, this would leave us at 12.5 million to 15 million pound market cap just on that basis, with no contingency whatsoever for the fact that you are growing and that you have all these other sites available, et cetera, et cetera. And with a current market cap of 9.15 million, you know, there's a lot of room for maneuver there in terms of what's ahead of you, if you like. So, yeah, it seems crazily undervalued.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at some of the auction figures prior to this, and I think we've talked about them before. But the previous year, last year's needs were in the something assessment of 400 megawatts, and that was the government's requirement. And then there was the latest auction results I saw that they were seeking to contract 2.4 gigawatts.
Yes.
I mean, look at the think of that as an increase. That must be six x on last year's needs. So demand is massive, and the government are already they've upped that amount in terms of assessment. And then from the latest figure, and that was based on something like £75 per megawatt hour. But actually, in the last RNS, which I read, it said that in February 2022, the price was actually £162 per megawatt hour compared to the economics of 66. Yeah. So, I mean, already there, you're looking at 1.5x on the economics of these projects.
No, definitely. I mean, there's some really good opportunity, and as both of you have explained, you know, I think we're only beginning to experience the true value or the potential that is locked up in this market.
I mean, anyone getting in now around those, it just sub 5p mark with I think the IPO was around the 12p. It's frightening how much value there is in this stock, really. That's my assessment of it anyway.
Yeah, no, I have to concur. I mean, this is, we recommended this stock as one of our 12 stocks of 2022. It's performed extremely disappointingly, but I think it's had the worst luck in history, I think, because it was starting to to go, and Omicron came, I think, as a COVID thing, straight after a good announcement. Yeah. And then the next really good announcement, and it was starting to move up to 8p, Putin decided to start World War III in Ukraine. So, no more RNSs, please, Louis, just in case something else bad happens.
And the irony is he's beaten down a stock that's only just highlighted how much of our demand we rely on for Russia and the Ukraine. And actually, money should be coming into UK stocks that are actually helping out with energy reserves. So it's just a double irony, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like, guys, if you want to invest in something that is solely orientated in the United Kingdom, and that is something that we don't have enough of, and we're going to have real electrical problems if or electricity supply problems, if we don't have more of these, then you need to look no further. Okay, MAST is doing it. Hopefully going to be up to 300 megawatts within a few years. And there is massive potential, not just in the share price, but in the need for this as a utility that is required. So, yeah, I don't get it. But sure, the market isn't always a perfect situation, isn't it? That's the reality. You can just nod and agree, Louis, OK? We understand you don't want to say any of this yourself.
I mean, if there's anything else you want to add, Louis, as well, I mean, you know, we've gone through the kind of like, you know, the Bordersley, the Rochdale, the repurposing. Anything you want to add on Pybridge? I don't think there's anything more to discuss on that.
No, I mean, on Pybridge, maybe I can just add on Pybridge. We're very, very happy with the performance of the site so far, both at the technical as well as the commercial level. Everybody knows that in the end of last year, we started bringing this into production. It does take a while to get these projects into steady state. We have about 2 months of proper steady state production behind us now. We've been very happy with the performance of especially the first two engines that went into production first. And also, you know, as I said, on the commercial side, very, very, very happy, very satisfied with what we've seen. If what we see at Pinebridge is also, you know, what we're going to see at the next sites that are coming on stream, then we're definitely on the right track here.
Give us three reasons why people should look to MAST Energy Developments as an investment, Louis, please.
I can just add on to what Kevin said just now. One is, if you're looking for an investment with a very low risk profile, with a very strong growth profile in the second place, and thirdly, that is probably trading below what it should be trading, what more reason do you need?
Louis Curtsey, Non-Executive Chairman of MAST Energy Developments, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Paul.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.